Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. This is the Canada Basketball Olympic Qualifying Tournament Reaction Podcast. There has to be a catchy acronym for that. There probably isn't, though. And I'm here to recap Canada's game against China, which, look, I think I told people this yesterday. And this is nothing against the Chinese team. I'm very proud of my country. I'm very proud of my people. Basketball is just, it's just hard for us. I don't know. Anyway, it's definitely not for a lack of love, but for that, that's for sure. Maybe as you can tell from me, but, it just, you kind of knew what was going to happen in this game. I believe the line coming into this game was Canada by 22 points. That's sounds about right. And it finished with Canada winning by 30, winning by a score of 109-79. Look, I'll say this. There were some real moments that I thought China looked really good in terms of their execution. They got some decent shots off. First half, they weren't making any threes. So that's always going to put you behind. But I just think that there were things that Canada just had clear, distinct advantages in terms of they're just way more athletic. And so when you're looking at, like, let's say the rebounding battle, Canada just taking, so many more shots than China was able to. And I would say China's defense was not very solid on the whole, although I think part of that speaks to the difference in athleticism. But, like, yeah, I mean, Canada got 20 offensive rebounds. Wow, okay, 20 offensive rebounds. That led to them taking 83 field goal attempts. China only got 70 off. So when you're talking about 13 more shots just from the field, let alone the free throw line, which, China took 19 free throws, Canada took 24. So just a lot more possessions going on. Plus, Canada's defense was very disruptive in terms of forcing turnovers. And Canada, honestly, from the whole, did a really good job defending in terms of the ball and being secure in that front, only committing 9 turnovers on the game. So, it wasn't much of a game. And even in the first half, when there were some moments when they were closer, it still didn't feel like that much of a game, quite honestly. You just kind of knew that Canada was going to pull away. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, I could say that the score was more in between 10 and 20 points rather than finishing losing by 30. But, that's just kind of how the game went. And honestly, a very difficult performance to assess from Canada, because I think it's harder to take away specific things when the game is as stretched and honestly as sort of lax as it was. Because you might say, well, there were some things Canada didn't really do well. For example, I thought they let, some of China's shooters come off the screen and be open. The end of the Gerald Henderson of this game for sure was Hu Mingxuan, who had 24 points, a game high, made four threes, a lot of them pull-up threes off the pick and roll, Canada dropping back. But, I mean, you know, I think, you know, naturally defense drops off when you're up 20 and you feel really good and feel very, very at ease about the game. So it's hard to assess from that front. In terms of tactically, China opened the game with a zone defense against Canada. This is probably the best way to guard Canada. First off, the FIBA rules are different. There's no defensive 3 seconds, it feels like. You know, I think that the floor is also smaller. So it honestly just allows teams to play zone more effectively. And especially when you see teams that don't have as many athletic players as Canada, which is the whole entire tournament in this side of the qualifiers. You're going to see a lot of teams zone against Canada. You saw Greece open the game in a zone against Canada. You saw China go to a zone against Canada. Honestly, there were a lot of moments where I felt like Canada's zone offense didn't look that impressive. Although I will say, I don't really feel like there was that much overall set offense run by Canada. I think they were able to really get just play a free-flowing style, get out in transition, and profit a lot that way. And of course, anytime they missed, they were able to get the rebound and get a second shot. So, you know, you don't have to run too much on offense in that setting. But I thought that the zone did give Canada some problems. I thought Canada's approach towards the zone was not always good. I thought later in the game, they were much better against it. I thought Nick and his coaching staff did a really good job of preparing these guys. Once again, they had the microphones inside the huddle. And so you got to hear Nick Nurse prepare his team, basically anticipating that, and correctly anticipating that China was going to come out of the timeout with a full court press. And, you know, Nick was very, very, I don't know, it was just very clear in his communication of like, hey, this is what we're going to do. They're going to beat you in the press. We're going to have two guys here. We're going to have somebody stationed near half court, you know, by the sideline and the halfway line to make sure we receive the pass, get the ball into the middle to Trey Lyles. It was very nice to hear all that. I mean, it's very fun to hear that side of it because obviously you don't get to see that in the NBA. And yeah, on the other side, you also got to hear plenty of the Chinese huddle, which obviously, you know, probably most people watching didn't understand what the coach was saying, but essentially it sounded like my parents scolding me as a child. The Chinese coach was very, very fired up. Definitely seems like a, you know, not hard on his players, just a very, you know, it's just some classic Asian parenting. I mean, he wasn't happy. There wasn't a lot to be happy with. I thought China's execution defensively was really poor. But yeah, I mean, I think the zone is something that Canada's going to see more of. So Canada's now won both games in group play, so they're going to finish top of Group A. Second place is going to be determined between the winner of Greece versus China. They both lost to Canada, obviously. So those two will play. We'll see what happens there. Honestly, obviously Greece is the favorite, but the way China played, there were some things they were able to do. I was still, you know, impressed with certain players on the team. I think Joe Chi, for example, was really good protecting the rim. He just didn't play all that much, whether that was due to foul trouble or due to him being tired or whatever, but he actually did a really good job of deterring Canadian shots and making people miss at the rim. Kind of like what was the way I described him before? Chinese Kristaps? I feel like that's outdated. Kristaps really fell off, so I guess more like Chinese Rudy Gobert at this point. But he is 7'2 or 7'3 and you know, he played really well. I think that's probably the other thing that maybe more so at the start of the game. It wasn't really like a long-term pattern over the course of the entire night. But, you know, I thought Canada did look a little bit weak to some of the taller players in the tournament. I mean, I think Greece, for example, was able to score a couple of times through the pick and roll. They were mostly able to do that through their guards, whereas in this one, you know, early in the game, China was able to get the ball inside to Joe Chi. And the guy's 7'3", and Dwight Powell is 6'7", and 6'8", right? So there's a big height gap in terms of that, and I think Dwight has played really well overall. And I don't want to discredit him. I don't think he was like a bad defensive performance by any means, but I think there is that sort of size element that when you go against a different opponent, let's say Turkey, for example, with they have 7-footers as well. They have, you know, guys who can play in the post a little bit more physique to sort of hold their position and catch passes down low. Like, or they have even a guy like Shane Larkin was able to break down the defense and then, you know, draw two defenders and dish it off to a guy like that. That lack of size in the middle could be a little bit of an issue. I think that's something that you can identify with the Canadian roster just right off the bat. But again, we're talking about a 30-point win, so it's hard to nitpick these things. I mean, it was a really good performance by Canada, and I think, you know, I think a lot of the talent really came through here. When you can just see Andrew Wiggins running down the floor and just catching and shooting easily into a three from probably, you know, almost 30 feet out, or when you're seeing RJ, you know, force his way to his left hand. Obviously, everybody in the world, at least that plays basketball, knows that RJ wants to get to his left, and so they're playing him away from that. But RJ is still forcing his way, still getting into his left hand, drawing the foul, playing through the contact, still finishing with great touch off the glass. You know, there's talent there. You're seeing Lou Dort, what he does defensively. By the way, Lou Dort defensively is really just he's a menace. There's no other way to describe it. He's an absolute menace. The way he hounds the ball, the way he's able to play on the baseline. Another time today, just like similar to in the game against Greece, where they're running a pick and roll action. He's guarding the guy in the corner, and you know, Greece is able to get some, you know, penetration. They're trying to find the dump off pass to the rolling big man, and all of a sudden, boom! Lou Dort is on the scene, breaks up the pass, leads out in transition. The exact same thing happened here. The exact same way in the game in China. And also, like, just Lou is just he just wreaks havoc, man. I mean, he's really, really fun to watch. You know, honestly, there's some regrets in terms of guys not being on the roster, and that's fine. People have different circumstances, but I really do regret not seeing Dylan Brooks and Lou Dort share the backcourt. I honestly think that would break some international codes or something like that. Like, they, you know, Canada might have to answer for that in the next G7 or something, because those two would have really done a lot of damage together. In any case, Lou Dort is doing the damage for two people. It's been really fun to watch him come off the bench and just guard people. And Lou today, I thought, did a better job offensively. Trusted in his three a lot more, which is important. I do want to see him take that three. It's a bit of a slower release for Lou. And he kind of needs to catch it in the right way. It's a pronounced release, and also it takes a little bit of time. And a lot of the time, if the ball swings to him, he's going to try to look for a different option, maybe look to drive sometimes. It's not always in the mentality to be aggressive from the three-point line. But, you know, he did really well. 3 of 6 from three. I mean, I wanted to see Lou take those threes because, I think he can really impact the game defensively. I don't think there's any question about that. Today he was, you know, stayed out of foul trouble and really just pressured the guys nonstop. But I also think that, like, he has things to contribute offensively. And I think that the more he takes that three, the more he's comfortable with that three, it just opens up a lot of great options. Because if he can space the floor a little bit, he already does so many other things really well. Rebounds well as well. Gets into the lane, makes the right passes. He was fantastic. Lou Dort was a plus 26 in this game. The only player better was Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who was a plus 30. And Nikhil played really well, too, especially if you look at the numbers. 11 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists in 27 minutes. My only thing with Nikhil, and again, I'm nitpicking here because really there's so much to compliment. It was an overwhelming performance. They completely overwhelmed China's team. But the only thing to nitpick with Nikhil's game is I do feel like he is just not ready defensively. And I mean that in terms of, I think in the Greece game, guys were going at him and working him in the pick and roll. He was, you know, hung up on screens a few times, didn't really know which way to sort of force his man, sort of, you know, that became a bit of a problem. Of course, if you can't guard the ball, that is a bit of an issue. And even in this game, you know, I think Nikhil, you know, allowed that to happen a few times defensively as well. There's one play where Dort had his man completely bottled up. The Chinese guard was just trying to drive as hard as possible and try to force up a shot. But then Nikhil reached in from the baseline there, just helping on the play for in a play that honestly Lou doesn't need help. Lou rarely needs help, but that you know, bailed the offense out and got two free throws, got the foul from Nikhil. So I would like to see better defensive discipline from Nikhil, because he does a lot of things really well. I think it's really smooth watching his game. Didn't even get it going that much from two-point range, although I think a lot of that was the fact that China did have Jochi in the middle, which, he's a Chinese Rudy Gobert. So, you know, that's going to be hard to finish over a guy who's 7'3". But, you know, I think Nikhil has a really, really nice skill set. The shot looks so smooth. Like, it's really fun watching him shoot. He's got great balance, goes right up and down. He can shoot it off the dribble as well. And even when he drives inside, like he's slender, like he's not particularly strong. He's definitely not like a Lou Dort body type, but he'll put the shoulder into the guy, neutralize the momentum, and then step through for the finish. He did that against Greece. He did it against China today. I really like watching him, and I think that bench combination of Nikhil and Lou Dort coming off the bench together has been really fun, because Nikhil is a complete different style of player than Corey Joseph. Corey's not really looking to score whatsoever. He's just trying to set people up. He got a team-high 7 assists from Corey today. There's one play where he had like 2 chances at a layup, but both times he forced a pass inside, and I think the second time he got Dwight Powell a dunk. That's just kind of the mentality Corey's going in with. And of course, he'll take some threes, but for the most part, he's just trying to set up the play, which is totally fine, because in that starting group, you have RJ, who's been playing fantastic through the 3 games. Andrew Wiggins, who's been playing fantastic through the 3 games. So you don't necessarily need that from your point guard. But when they go to the bench, it's a bit of a different story. It's a bit of a different mix. You know, it depends on who's out there. We saw more minutes from Michael Mulder today. He mostly plays off ball. He's not going to initiate as much. Dort, as good as he is defensively, isn't looking to assert himself as much offensively. So you do need Nikhil to come in and sort of, you know, create and work the pick and roll and get downhill and play in transition and lead the break. And he looks really nice. I mean, he made one really, really nice pass coming off the pick and roll, bounce pass between 2 defenders to Andrew Nicholson. Nicholson blew the layup, but really nice find there too. So, you know, that's a nice combo, and I think, you know, Nick has that rotation right, because now that you're bringing both those guys off the bench together, it kind of complements for each other's weaknesses. I think, obviously, Nikhil, not a very good defender. You pair him with Lou, the best defender on the team, period. It's not close. And there's other guys who can guard pretty well. Like, honestly, RJ has done a really good job guarding. Andrew Wiggins has done a really nice job guarding. Corey's, you know, pretty good at pressuring the ball, very disciplined, and Dwight Powell's done a lot of good work. But Lou Dort is the best defender. I mean, the other guys execute really well, and not with many mistakes. Whereas Lou forces the other team into making mistakes with how aggressive he is. But you know, it kind of makes up for it. And honestly, the fact that Lou's not trying to create as much offensively, that's where Nikhil can sort of imbalance that off as well. So that's a nice pairing there. I really enjoyed watching those two. Today, we also saw Nick extend the rotation, which is to be expected, second game in 2 nights. And this is a game where he didn't need to extend minutes for any of his guys, because most of the guys were playing really well. So he was able to get his whole roster on the floor. 12 guys played. Everybody except for Aaron Dornikamp scored. Aaron had 2 open threes that he missed, which is unfortunate, and he committed some fouls. But, you know, Bennett, Dornikamp, Trey Bell Haynes, like, these guys aren't really in the rotation, but they got some time to play today. Honestly, Trey Bell had he had a nice floater, really, really nice floater in the line. You could tell he's skilled, even though he's a little undersized, that's for sure. I think that's probably what's going to keep him off the floor here, is just he's just small. He looks like 6'1 out there. And then Bennett is just, you know, on a night where other guys are playing really well, I don't think you really need to reach for Bennett all that much. I think the more that Dort is able to stay out of foul trouble and also hit his threes, he's another big on the team. And I know that sounds a little silly because he's only like 6'4", but I mean, come on, man. This guy, there's not a real defensive mismatch for him. Maybe until they play Turkey and you see some of their post-up guys. But for the most part, Dort's going to be able to guard every single person in Victoria at this moment, whether they're part of the basketball teams or not. I'm sure Lou Dort can guard all these guys. But I thought Nicholson played a really nice role off the bench. He had 14 points in 15 minutes. He, you know, look, the three-point shot is there for him. He's always had that in his game. That's what he was originally drafted to the NBA for. And, you know, he flamed. I guess he didn't really flame out. He stuck in the NBA for a while, got a deal, and then went overseas to play. But anyway, yeah, Nicholson's three seems nice. He was more willing to shoot that. But they were also trying to get Nicholson the ball in the post. And that seems like a nice little option as well, especially off the bench. Just have a guy who can do a little bit of everything. You know, defensively, he's okay too, although he's definitely not as good as Dwight Powell, but he's not necessarily that big of a liability. And offensively, he's very skilled. So it seemed like, you know, whether Canada was running that many plays, not that much, but it felt like they were trying to establish Nicholson in the post, in addition to the fact that he could stretch the floor. And it was just cool to see, you know, post-game, you know, obviously everyone going for the handshakes, something like that. Andrew Nicholson, having played in China for the last few years, seemed very familiar with many of the guys, was smiling and, you know, dapping guys up, talking to their coaches and stuff. So that was very cool to see. What else happened in this game? Michael Mulder played, you know, not bad. Seems like there's a little bit of a bounce element to his game. The commentators seem to really, really love his athleticism, called him one of the most athletic players they've ever seen. You know, I could see some of that. I guess he's definitely athletic. I don't know. Maybe there's definitely more athletic players, but there is that element to his game. We saw Mulder get up for a dunk at 6'3". We saw him get up for a nice little finger roll, hit a corner three as well. I think he's a nice option to have, just mostly to space the floor as a guy who can sort of move around a little bit as well. There's not a lot of moving kind of shooters, you know what I mean? Like there's Nikhil who can sort of pull up. There's a lot of guys who can catch and shoot on this team, but pull up. But like that kind of like moving off a screen, moving around, like JJ Redick style. Like, I mean, I don't want to say Michael Mulder is JJ Redick in that way, but on this team he does move around and try to relocate for threes and stuff like that. You know, I don't mind his game. Trey Lyles is interesting. I think the starting five with him in it hasn't impressed me all that much. I don't think the numbers have looked necessarily overwhelming for that group. They didn't really get off to a great start against Greece, and in the second half they definitely went smaller, which was one of the big keys to overcoming the deficit and winning that pivotal game in game one. And, you know, I think Trey does some nice things, but I think it makes other teams easy to, like, it makes their decision to zone Canada a little bit easier. Trey can shoot. He was 1 of 4 from three today, and you know, that was that. But I just do think that, like, you know, there just is a little bit less fluidity with the two big lineups, even though Trey can make some plays. He can put it on the floor, you know, draw some fouls. He's a little crafty. He's got good size. You know, clearly a skilled player. But, you know, I do see the best lineup for Canada having Powell in the center, Lou Dort at four, even though he's going to guard ones, and then switch on to pretty much everybody, except maybe fives. Although even with fives, I think it'll be fine, even without help. RJ at three, Wiggins at two, Corey at the one, or even Nikhil at the one, depending on whether you're trying to protect or chase a lead. But, you know, I think that it's not a bad thing to start bigger, too, I think, with Nick, because I think he can kind of adjust as the game goes on. And I think he did an effective job of that against Greece. And in this game, he didn't really have to, because, again, most guys were getting the points. And, you know, like I said on yesterday's podcast, like, you know, I think it was very, very predictable what's going to happen here between these two countries. And, you know, I feel bad. I really do feel bad because I was really rooting for China, not necessarily to beat Canada, but, you know, I wouldn't have minded. You know, of course my allegiances are split, but, I knew like this is kind of what it was going to be, but it is what it is. It's not so bad. If China could beat Greece gets knocked out in the first round, that would be quite the upset and you know, a pretty good accomplishment. I still doubt it. I would definitely say Greece is the favorite, but there were some real skill plays as well. And listen, China's missing some of their best players. I'm sorry, I can't even say it, but I did miss watching Guo Ailun play. He's really fun. He's got a Jordan deal. he's been a really fun player in China for a while. You know, different player from the other guys, because most of the guards at least are sort of less physical, not trying to drive to the rim as much, trying to play more perimeter game, play pick and roll, stuff like that. Whereas Guo is able to have that athleticism to drive to the basket, some of the advanced finishing techniques and that. It's been fun watching him in previous tournaments, mostly in like the Asia Cup and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. It's also Canada had so much more talent, so it's you know, this is what you would expect. In terms of your three stars from this very lopsided game, I would say the first star for me, it's a lot of guys to pick from. I'll probably still go Wiggins. Wiggins was super efficient in his game. 25 minutes for Wiggins, 20 points, 5 of 9 shooting from the field, hit 3 threes, you know, drove inside, attacked the closeout, almost had a dunk, went for the little finger roll instead, got to the free throw line 7 times. He's very good in this setting. He's been really good in his role for Canada, so solid offensively as well. And it just feels like he can kind of get his shot or get a bucket. He's like very clearly, in terms of guys with talent, if we're just evaluating talent and ability, like Wiggins has that more than any of these other guys on the team. And there's plenty of talent, and you're seeing RJ, you know, thrive as well. I'm not going to give RJ a star here just because he did shoot 5 of 14. But there were some nice things I saw from RJ as well, including a pull-up 3, which was, you know, not bad. Honestly, RJ did well from 3 this season, shooting 40%. Large percentage of those were in the corners. But RJ's been having to play more up top as an initiator for this team, and he's done a really good job with that. Not giving him in the second star. I'm probably going to give, honestly, Lu Dort the second star. He's just really fun to watch. Like, in terms of pure entertainment, he's been really, really enjoyable. Just seeing him come into the game and just like fluster people. 11 points, 4 of 8 shooting from the field, 3 of 6 from 3, which is the important stat. If he can be anywhere close to that on a consistent basis, Nick's going to be turning to him quite a bit this summer. To go along with 3 rebounds and 3 assists, a steal as well. Really, really enjoyable to watch. And then your third star, I'm going to give it to Nikhil this time. Didn't give it to Nikhil last game because of the you know, the defense, and I thought Dwight Powell should have got some more credit. Dwight was really good in this one as well. 12 points, 5 rebounds, or 5 of 7 from the field, 5 offensive rebounds, 9 rebounds overall, 3 assists. You know, he's been very key. But I think Nikhil's done a really good job. He's really impressed me off the bench. You know, I think the fact that he contributed with 8 rebounds as well, 5 assists, pushing the break, some of the skill moves he's been pulling off, how smooth he looks. He's been great. So I'm going to give him the third star. I mean, cumulatively over the two games, I think he's really been on that level. So very professional performance from Canada. You know, and again, the result was never really in doubt, but it was also good that they came out and executed their game plan and, you know, got themselves an easy win. So they're going to have 2 days off. Oh, actually, the Gerald Henderson Award. I've already said this already, but Hu Mingxuan, he was awesome, honestly. 24 points, 9 of 17 from the field, 5 of 10 from 2, 4 of 7 from 3. Didn't really do too much else other than score. But yeah, this guy literally gave you a Norman Powell stat line. Wow. 24 points, 0 rebounds, 1 assist. Oh man, a 1 steal. That is a Norm Powell stat line right there. 29 minutes of play. Super efficient, but also did nothing else. I miss you, Norm. I really do miss Norm. Hopefully he leaves Portland, because Portland seems like a mess. But yeah, I mean, so for Canada, they have 2 days off. Tomorrow, there's going to be another day in terms of matches, so we'll see what happens with that. In terms of the opponent that they'll play in the first round, that's going to depend on what happens between Turkey and Czech Republic. That game is still ongoing, so we'll see. But most likely, Turkey's going to beat Czech Republic. Turkey's already beaten Uruguay in game one, so they're probably going to be the first seed in Group B, which means that Canada will not play them in the semifinal. Canada will probably play Czech Republic in the second semifinal, although, to be honest, I'm not totally sure. Uruguay could very well beat, you know, Czech Republic. In any case, you know, Canada will have 2 days off. We'll see what happens in the results. And then back on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, there'll be semifinals and then the finals. And so Canada's going to play the second seed, which is going to be either Czech Republic or Uruguay on Saturday. And if they beat those one of those two teams, which, you know, not to be presumptive, but they should, especially based on how well they played so far in the two games, then they'll go to the finals and we'll see what's going to be there, whether that's going to be Turkey or Greece. It's so far everything has gone according to plan. The team's looking better. And honestly, one of the big concerns of the team was the shooting. Well, Canada shot the ball fine in the two games. They were 40% from three today, 17 of 43. Haven't seen like that big of an issue. Size is definitely a weakness sometimes, but they've also made up for it. Way more athletic than most teams in the tournament. And they must be feeling good as well after a few days of success. So that's a great start to the tournament. Canada's through, and we'll just see what happens. If they win two more games, they'll be going to the Olympics, and that would be absolutely huge for the men's program because it has been so long, literally 21 years. So we'll see. I'll be back on the weekend to recap the games, and thanks everyone for listening. And once again, China, you know, it didn't work out. It didn't work out, but you know, there's still a chance against Greece, so I probably won't be watching it, but I will be rooting for China. I will very much be rooting for China. So, 加油, 中国 加油, okay? All right, so thanks everyone for listening, and I'll be back on the weekend.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.